Well, we have one final pericope of the month. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 3b through 13. It's the Revised Common Lectionary passage for Pentecost on May the 28th. Cherith, would you read it for us, please?
I will. So we're picking up halfway through something else that Paul's already going on about. So here we go. So I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when speaking by God's Spirit, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to one another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though they are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink.
One Spirit into one body. The Spirit leads us to see the family resemblance in others who aren't like us. Hallelujah. And we're told here that the demonstration of the Spirit is given to each of us, but it's not for ourselves. Here we go again. It's the common good. It's the community. So gifts, fruit, the manifestations of the Spirit are meant for the community, right? So what does that mean? Is that the church body, the neighborhood? What are we talking about here?
Well, you sure have somebody who knows this church well, loves this church, is away from this church and hearing all kinds of crazy stuff about what's going on with this church. We know that Paul loves this community, and he's also just like lived among them and grown with them, but also is really, really clear about where things can go wacky really quickly. And so I just appreciate the fact that here he is, and we hear him really boldly in this letter. But I think part of that is because when he's busy sort of planting churches, like this is one where he spent like almost 2 years, right? And that's a long time watching people come together and lay down their old life and have to be renewed in a new way of being. And so much of this letter is about thwarting division, right? It's just like you guys are just dividing up in all kinds of ways, whether it's around the leadership of your church, whether it's around certain, you know, views of what to do here. You're dividing up even at the Lord's table and chucking in the kind of honor shame culture that you get to live out there in a Roman world that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And he's just like, point after point in worship, he's like, what is going on? He goes, everything that you were meant to do and be as the temple of God. So now we're back in First Peter language, right? He's like, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, you plural. And you plural are the domain in which the Spirit of God dwells. And there's only one place in Corinth as a big city with lots and lots of temples and claims to deity and claims to power. There's only one place that this city will see the love of God manifested for them and for the world, and that is in your life and love together. And division has no place in God. Diversity, tons, everything, right? The Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Spirit, the Spirit is not the Father. But he's like, their union is the shorthand little word that we call God. So you get to be like God. And then he pulls this analogy that says, as a body who's been made alive by the Spirit, all of these ways that the Spirit is ministering among you is to actually build you up as a people to look like Jesus. So these aren't like shows of power, and they certainly shouldn't divide you to say, well, I've got a more awesome gift than somebody else or whatever. It's like, they don't even belong to you. He says the Spirit has them, and they're gifts that the Spirit gives you to give away.
Yes.
To someone else. And he gives them because it's an act of love and an act of mercy. And this person needs so badly that gift of God. And you get to be the one who carries that and ministers that and embodies that and touches that on their life and thus builds up the life of the whole. And so I think it's just a fascinating way when he talks about the fact that we are all one body, right? By the fact that Christ has one body and we are that one body, but that we've become that body by the Spirit. And then he says, and we're also baptized into that one body and given the Spirit to drink. So suddenly we're now in like Eucharistic language, right? To have both the body and the blood in the sense that the very life of God is given to us by the Spirit. It reframes our complete identity, reorients how we are and who we are in the world. And Corinthians is like a fantastic letter to read that. It's like, okay, let's talk about division. Let's talk about the fact that you want to raise people up and celebrate them around power when it looks really cool and powerful. You love great speakers, which means you probably don't love me, even though I love you and lived among you for a couple of years. I'm way better in print than I am in person. He's like, you know, then you want to have like sexual craziness going on in your community. And he doesn't call out the people who are doing that. He calls out the community, right? He's like, excuse me, but you, if you love them, and if you're loved by God, how would you let something that's doing harm to them and the community happen? And he's like, oh, and then you guys like had a disagreement about something that you owned and somebody borrowed and kept. And really, you want to go downtown Corinth to the Agora and have these people who supposedly have all this wisdom, although you've been claiming that by the Spirit, you are so wise. Right. But you can't have the wisdom of God to solve a disagreement and not only solve it, but to just look like Jesus and say, forget it. You can have it. Right. It wasn't mine to begin with. Everything is Christ. Like, what? He just goes after issue after issue after issue. So this is one letter where you're like, he thinks that we're really supposed to be looking like Jesus as a people, not as people like reading scripture in our little 10-minute devotional and hope that we remember to be kind for a few minutes in the day, right? But he's like, if you will be this people, your neighbor, you're not being this just because God wants a little place to hang out. He wants to love Corinth. He wants to love the world. And this is about becoming Christ-like enough to lay your life down as, how does the letter finish? As resurrected ones whose hope is this. So it might cost you your life, but who cares? Like, you get it back. And he's like, lean in, like lean in to the character of God, which is to love. And it, love doesn't keep records and love doesn't look for ways that it benefits. It looks for ways to benefit the other. It's just God, right? So he's like, we've seen him and we've seen him in the flesh. And he's asking us in our flesh to live in such a way that the places that the world gives no honor, we celebrate them, right? Like as he goes on in this same chapter, he's like, you know what? There are body parts that really don't get much honor, and I want you to honor those. And I'm like, yes. Oh man, like this would be speaking to me. Like, I teach. And so it's a very public thing. And when people hear the word of the Lord somewhere, you know, stirring in their hearts, because I get to just say it on behalf of Jesus and echo something he's telling all of us, I can get a lot of gratitude from people for that, right? But I'm like, where's the pancreas in my community? Without which I am like dead and I can't get it. I can do nothing. Yes. I cannot survive. I have nothing to give because somewhere in my midst, those who are hidden in a sense, are the ones who, by their life, are also so profoundly keeping us alive by staying close to Jesus. And the world will never honor them. But the world could see what it looks like to find that insecure place in yourself that's like, if people really saw who I am, nobody would love me and no one would honor me. He goes, yes, we would, because that's the character of God. So show the world that. Show your community that. Bless those, honor them, raise them up, not at the exclusion of others. Just be aware that a lot of you will already get that by the nature of how your gift is given. It's very public. So watch where gifts are being given to you for your life all the time. And then that attunes your eye and heart and ear to the voice of a world around you that doesn't believe that anyone would love them or see them that way. And so they grasp power to try to prop themselves up. This is, there's a different way and you get to live it. So it's a very, very powerful passage, I think.
Mm, that was so beautiful. I wish every church could hear it. And as one pancreas, let me ask you one final question. Let's talk some pneumatology. It's Pentecost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God's spirit has been poured out on human flesh. Tell us why that's vital. This relationship with the spirit is so vital with our relationship with the triune God and to one another.
Yeah. Well, to put it bluntly, there is no life with God and one another without the Spirit.
Hmm.
I mean, Jesus knows that. And the only life he was able to live as one of us with the Father was by the Spirit. The only life he can offer us to live is his life, which is still empowered by the Spirit to do the will of the Father. That all of our union with anything that belongs to God, which is salvation in its biggest, biggest sense, is only possible by the fact that if our Father lives in sort of unapproachable light in this glory and wonder that we haven't yet seen, we have also by the Son been able to see God in a sense, face to face. We haven't seen that glorified face. My dad and mom have, but So there's a communion of saints where Paul, when he talks about community, he's not just talking about the local fellowship. It's the language of Hebrews 11. Like they always know that they are part of a very, 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 very big people. And the more alive members of that community are not us. That we are the dying ones. We are the least alive of all the community of the saints. But that's, again, a gift of the Spirit that we can be joined to the whole communion of God's people only by the third member of the Trinity too, which is that this, in a sense, is Emmanuel from the beginning, right? That the God who is with us from the beginning of creation and the one who gets to be that same God in eschatological new creation. So with our other passage that we discussed on that other day is to say, well, how are we actually made alive? But we're made alive by the Spirit, right? Or even this passage that we've been drinking of the Spirit to be joined to this body to find our life. And so I think when we come up through circles, very much American evangelicalism in the last century, many, many different eras and seasons through the church's life throughout the world and church history, we become really quickly binitarian. And we see this kind of father-son relationship that is very often some kind of transactional relationship to get us saved, i.e. to get us to some eternal destination that's better than the other one. But it has nothing to do with relationship. And the only one who can bind us to that relationship is God himself, and that is God the Spirit. And the only one who can breathe life into us, which is really truly human life from Genesis 2 into like Romans 8, you have been born, you know, by the Spirit of adoption to cry Abba, right? Jesus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born from above, by the Spirit and water. He's just like, this is it. Like, this is how God makes image-bearing people for his name, is to actually be the one who not just creates them, but indwells them and empowers them and teaches them who they are in the ways of a God who is self-giving, self-sacrificing love. And that it's costly love, right? It's just this beautiful sense of God going, yes, I don't need you, but for the cost of everything that I have, we love you and we'll bring you home no matter what. And that is into a full life of the Spirit. So you're like, let's just start now, because this is the life that you've really been invited into. And for those of you who are trying really hard to live a Christian life in some way that's trying to, quote, please the Father and be grateful for Jesus saving you, no wonder you don't want to be a Christian half the time. And no wonder it's exhausting, because nobody can live that kind of moralism in the way that we kind of project that onto God. But if we really are born of the Spirit, then suddenly we find ourselves birthed into and gathered into and sought after and brought home by the very person of God, who is the one who's always been with creation, right? Always been with creation. As Jesus also, as Irenaeus talks about Jesus and the Spirit as the two hands of the Father, that together they bring us life, save us into life, pour out life through us, and bring us home into final human life. So there is no such thing as being a Christian. There's no such thing as being truly human that isn't foundationally a life in God the Spirit.
Thank God that the Spirit hit the fan and rained down upon us all. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Prince Caspian, but there was a great scene where Lucy is talking to Aslan, the Christ character, and said, "Aslan, you're bigger." And he says, "That is because you're older, little one." Mm-hmm. And not because you are. I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. Yeah. And I think that's so true by the Spirit. And may that be our journey with Jesus, that he appears bigger and greater by the Spirit as we go. Cherith, you are a beloved daughter of God. We're so thankful for you, for the testimony of the triune God that so easily flows from your lips. And be blessed. You certainly have blessed us. And I want to take a moment to thank our producer, Ruel Inario, who does such a great job, and my beloved bride, Elizabeth Mullins, who does the transcription. So Cherith, every word you said is going to live forever. So, but it's been good. Don't fear. But as is our tradition here at Gospel Reverb, we'd sure be delighted if you would say a prayer. But before you do, if you want to find more about Cherith, more of what she has to teach, she's done a great series with Brad Jerzak, who's going to be our guest here on Gospel Reverb this summer. But they do 5-minute clips about a book that is upcoming, and we'll put the links to those productions in our show notes, so be on the lookout for that. But Cherith, if you would close us with a word of prayer, we'd sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. So our Lord Jesus, we thank you that you delight in us all the time, and that you have already seen us finished, because we look like you at the end of all things, and that you hold that and embody that and mediate that, that our Father loves us in a way that is always the way that you love each other, and that he always also sees us finished by seeing us through you in your life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you who are the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is worshiped and magnified with the Father and the Son, that you've spoken through the prophets in the past, and you are the one who has made the living word our word, and then pours out from his life in the Father, the word of life in our own being. So I just thank you even for that reference from Lewis of Lucy's picture of Aslan, that as we just grow with you, we grow up into you, into a childlikeness, and put away childishness. And I thank you that that means understanding really does mean standing under you, and that you just keep getting bigger as we get older and bigger and are just drinking from the milk that is our sustenance by your Spirit in you. So I thank you for Gospel Reverb. I thank you for Anthony, and thank you for Rule and Elizabeth and those who just give the gift of this time to dwell with you and to love you more, and just pray your blessing on all that we've talked about today. In your name, amen.